Can your savings weather an economic storm? There are very few physical assets you can invest in that are proven to stand the test of time. Gold has withstood as a valued form of money for millennia, and Birch Gold lets you convert a retirement account into a tax-sheltered IRA and physical gold that doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. Text COAST to 989898 and claim your free info kit on gold. Text COAST to 989898 and secure your savings today.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Dr. Harley Rothbart. We're talking about his latest work, No Regrets Living. His website is his name, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Heal key number 4 was appreciate. I kind of like this one, Doc.
I do too, George. It's a recognition that I have had for the last several years that when I take a pause every day to reflect on what I'm grateful for that day, it's remarkable how much changes from day to day. That is, how much more I have to be grateful for today than I did even yesterday. Things that hadn't even happened yesterday that did happen today. And I'm grateful, of course, for things in the past too. And by taking a few minutes, and for me, that takes the form of prayer. For other people, it takes the form of meditation. It takes the form of quiet reflection. It may be running. It may be exercising and getting an endorphin rush and pausing long enough during that to appreciate the ability to exercise, the ability to run. But I think it's very important for people every day to just take a few quiet moments and ask themselves, what do I have to be grateful for today? My health, my family, my business, progress as a human, all of those things are worthy of gratitude. And once a day, I think we need to pause to appreciate.
Waking up is appreciation, isn't it?
Boy, that's the truth. And to be perfectly candid, sometimes I appreciate that a couple times a night.
Yep.
And yes, we should appreciate every day that we wake up. And I had significant heart surgery, a quadruple bypass 6 years ago.
Oh,
and
after
that procedure, all I wanted was a return to routine, was a return to normalcy, to be able to get up in the morning without pain, to be able to roll over in bed, to be able to go for a walk around the block. And I became astutely grateful for the things that I had so often taken for granted. And I have not taken things for granted since then.
Absolutely. Where'd they get the veins, from your leg or your arm?
My leg. And the leg took longer to heal than my chest. It was a procedure.
Next one, accept. What's that?
Well, I believe in fate. And fate has been my way of explaining so many things that happen in life that otherwise don't have an explanation. When my kids were young, I was able to explain, a disappointing test or a failure to get into the college that they had hoped to get into, or an accident that prevented them from getting where they had to be, but from which they emerged safely. I was able to ascribe all of that to fate and explain that to them. But recently, I've become aware of really specific occurrences in life that without which we wouldn't be here, or we wouldn't enjoy the life that we have, and that those occurrences, inflection points throughout our life, are really a matter of fate. And it begs the question of predetermination, and do we have freedom of choice? Do we have free will in life? And those are questions that are difficult to answer, and they go back to key number one, and that is belief. I believe that there is a fate for all of us, but I also believe that we have free will, and I recognize the conflict. I recognize that those are in direct conflict. But because of a sense of belief, because I believe that there is knowledge and understanding greater than me and greater than I will ever have, I'm able to accept, in key number five, I'm able to accept fate. I'm able to accept reward and punishment. And again, a controversial thing to accept. But I don't know, I cannot attest to the reward and punishment that comes from above, or reward and punishment that we may find in an afterlife. I'm hopeful that both of those things are true. But I can accept reward and punishment that we feel immediately by our actions. We all know the feeling of reward that we experience when we do something good, when we help someone, when we benefit the world in some way. And we all know the feeling of punishment, of the guilt of doing something wrong. That's immediate. And I accept reward and punishment.
Doc, the next key is seek. Explain that one for us.
We all need to be searching for things in our life. The most important, the most important, I believe, is purpose. I think we all need to find purpose in our lives. And I look around at nature, animals, birds, and it's clear what their purpose is. It's instinctual. Their purpose is survival. Their purpose is breeding. Their purpose is raising their young. And their purpose is instinctual. Humans have really the responsibility to find purpose beyond instinct. We have to find things in our life that are not necessarily reflexive, that are not necessarily obvious, that keep us going, that give us reason to live. There's a very famous psychologist named Viktor Frankl, controversial in many ways, but he wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. And that book really implies and that without a sense of purpose, without seeking purpose, our lives are shorter, our lives are less fulfilling, and we lose the reason to live. And that's at the root of suicide, at the root of the depression that you mentioned earlier. I think we need to seek self-forgiveness. Many of us, myself included, blame ourselves for things that we may indeed have done wrong, that we may be guilty of. But I think we have to seek forgiveness for ourselves, and that's an important part of no regrets living.
The last key is grow. Explain that one.
I urge everyone to identify mile markers in their lives. That is, inflection points, turning points in their lives where they can recognize their personal growth. I do that in the way of a personal reflection in the book, but I think it's useful, helpful, important for everyone to appreciate the fact, to recognize that with each day we do grow, and to identify those specific mile markers of growth in our lives, because that helps us to recognize that we are different today than we were yesterday. Hopefully we're better today than we were yesterday. But if we're not better today than we were yesterday, that's what we should strive for tomorrow. And I think those mile markers of growth in our lives lead us there. And my favorite country music song is Live Like You're Dying. It's a fabulous song that wishes that everyone could experience the sense of thinking they were dying soon, and they could, you know, love more strongly, feel more deeply, and appreciate everything in their lives in a more compassionate way. And I think that's part of growth as well, to realize that we are all here temporarily and that we should try to live like we're dying.
Did your father talk much about Auschwitz to you?
He really didn't, and I'm sorry that I didn't ask more.
I'm not sure he would have told you more, Doc. You know?
I think he would have. I think he would have been hesitant to, but he always tried to protect us, and so you're probably right. And I have an experience that I talk about in the book with my grandfather, not my father, who was asked to relive a horrific experience that he had in Europe, where he watched his mother and his sister die at the hands of the Cossacks in a pogrom. And he buried that story for 70 years until he was interviewed by a local newspaper about his experience. And he told the reporter that story. And then the next day he lapsed into a catatonic state, which I now recognize — I was young at the time, but I now recognize it was PTSD, it was post-traumatic stress — of reliving that experience. And so I think that asking my father too much might have caused him to relive that experience in a harmful way too. I wish I would have known more about his experience. I know the number that was tattooed on his arm. I know what day he was taken into the camps. I know what day he was liberated from the camps. But that's all because of the United States Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., where those records are kept. I didn't hear that from him.
And, you know, my father was in World War II, and he really did not like talking about the war.
Right, right. I think you're right. You're absolutely right. And probably for that reason. I think he was protecting you, and as my father was probably protecting me, and the rekindling of those memories could have been very, very painful.
Let's tie in No Regrets Living with what you say was almost like the sequel to Miracles We Have Seen. What kind of miracles — and I guess one could describe a miracle as just life itself, couldn't we?
Right. I think that's the big aha for me that resulted in the No Regrets Living book, and that is really what Albert Einstein said, that I'm the kind of person who sees miracles everywhere. But there are lots of different categories of miracles. There's the small ones of seeing a virus explode human cells in a test tube and having no idea how that could possibly happen, and how something like that could result in shutting down basically the entire world as we have been shut down for the past a year and a quarter. But there are also the small miracles of seeing someone who has been sick get better. I had, as I mentioned, I have this long zipper scar on my chest from heart surgery, but that's, in my mind, no more miraculous than when we heal from a paper cut, because our body is equipped with first responder cells that recognize any kind of injury, even if we don't appreciate it. We recognize a paper cut, but there are abnormal cells and abnormal processes going on in our bodies all the time, and miraculously, our bodies figure out a way to deal with that. And then there are the big miracles. There's the splitting of the Red Sea miracle. There's the flood, Noah's flood miracle. There's the manna from heaven miracle. And I wasn't there for any of those, and I can't say that they did or didn't happen, but historians have found equivalents in modern times. So that the manna from heaven was thought to be miraculous when it first appeared to the Hebrews wandering in the desert, but then they got bored of it. People are fickle. And they asked Moses, the story goes, in the Bible, they asked Moses for meat. And miraculously, quail landed at their feet enough to feed 600,000 Hebrews wandering in the desert. And then there's this report in the New York Times that says every year the quail come back to Alexandria, Egypt. And the story goes that in the migration path of the quail, they oftentimes land by the tens of thousands in Egypt and are trapped by Egyptian bird trappers who then use the quail meat and sell the quail meat. And so it seems less unbelievable, or more believable, to avoid the double negative. It seems more believable when we realize that this happens in modern time. One of the 10 plagues was locusts. Well, locusts invaded Egypt and northern Africa in the year 2020. Last year, there was an infestation of locusts in Egypt and in northern Africa. So it was it a miracle that the locusts came to Egypt? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe the miracle was that they came when they did, that the timing was miraculous. The Red Sea split. Miraculous? Well, there have been studies that Lake Erie splits, that there are certain windstorms that cause water to recede and to create a path to walk on in the middle of a lake. Well, maybe that's what happened, but maybe the miracle was that it happened when it did, just when it was supposed to happen. So I see miracles, and none of those are, in my mind, greater than the fact that a sperm meets an egg and creates a human baby. In my mind, that's one of the greatest miracles of all, and that includes the splitting of the Red Sea.
I think rain is a miracle. I mean, what are the odds that plants need water in order to exist? It obviously can't walk to a lake and drink, so it's got to wait for something to dump rain on it, and it rains. I mean, that's a miracle.
George, that is an almost exact paraphrasing of what I wrote about, and I take it even one step further. And not only is rain miraculous, but look at the whole system that provides rain. It rains. The rain evaporates, it goes back into the clouds again produce the rain, and everything is nourished, not just plants, but we could turn on the faucet.
That's
and
right.
We're nourished. And the air that we breathe, the oxygen that we breathe, comes from those plants, which are nurtured from by the rain, and they in turn breathe the carbon dioxide that we emit, that we exhale. And that's a remarkable system. I mean, imagine trying to create that. Imagine a human being trying to create that. And then go back to key number one. Don't we have to believe that there's something greater than us? Don't we have to believe that we are not the be-all and the end-all?
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern. And go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.